Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and our panel discussion for this Thursday morning, the 25th of January. Hearing little Tinsley Ellis this morning, who'll be playing at the Linda tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We're going to have Carl Blackwood here later on talking about it, but we'll be hearing that music this morning. It's all good stuff. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock at the Linda, thelinda.org for more information. However, what we have to talk about is some serious stuff, some serious stories, and we welcome your letters panel at WAMC.org. Let us introduce the panel and see what everyone is up to. Teresa Bourgeois is here. Good morning, Teresa. Very nice to have you with us.
I'm just so delighted to be here today.
Communications consultant, and always wonderful to have Teresa before our microphones. Ira Fussfeld joins us. He is publisher emeritus of the Daily Freeman, our dear friend, and he is with us this morning as well. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe and group. Nice to see you all.
Very nice to have you here. We are more than a little happy to have Vera Acarias-Kelly back. She is a Siena College professor of comparative politics. She was away for the break, but she is back, and break would indicate that you weren't working the whole time, which is pretty much what you were doing. So.
Correct. But it's wonderful to be back. So I'm thrilled.
Wonderful to a break from this. And we're very glad that you're back. And thank you very much. Welcome and back into the semester and all that good stuff. Alan Chartok is here as well. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Well, hello, Joe. I'm a little worried, of course. I always get worried before fund drives. In the lockbox now is $1,100,621. To get to the $1.5 million to start the fund drive and to get, now get this, I don't know, Vera, whether you heard the news, but the news is that a wonderful woman in the Hudson Valley, said she would give us $50,000 if we could get there. That's $50,000.
That's not $1.5, that's $50,000.
That's right. If we could, of her own money, if we could meet this challenge by February 5th, and now that means we need about, what, Joe, $400,000 to do that.
That's right.
Between now and then. I need everybody on a phone, folks. When I tell you, and Joe, I think you can substantiate that because you've probably known me the longest.
When Ira, you want to do get out?
Is it a badge of honor?
That's funny.
We have known him over 50 years.
When I get worried, I think it's fair to say I'm really worried, and I am worried now. $400,000. You've always told me, folks, when I meet you on the streets and everywhere else, that you have our backs. You have my back. You have our back. And now we need your help. We need it now. We only have what? Thursday, Friday.
I was just doing the math. You ready? So we have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we have exactly 10 days.
And by the way, the weekends don't always count. We know that. They count. You can always put your money at WAMC.org. But we know that it's the weekdays that make the difference. And I'm asking if everybody who is out there likes the station, loves the panel, loves Vera and Teresa and even Ira. Especially Ira. Then you'll be where you need to be. Now, please, let's hear from you now. We really got to make it. WAMC.org. We got to pay for that tower. We've got to keep the place going. It's all there. It's the only $2 million fund drive I think I'm ever going to see, but it's here. We've already raised 1.1 of that. If we can raise 4 by February 5th, we get that extra $50,000 from one person. One person. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine, but that's what happened.
But to make this, we need roughly $40,000 a day.
I just did that calculation.
Yeah, roughly we need $40,000 a day. Now, that's on the average. Some days you'll make more, some days you'll make less. And we're not ready to talk about this yet, but next week we'll start talking about the whoosh.
Yeah, the whoosh. The whoosh is defined, Joe, as you
this
know.
This week is the whish, next week is the whoosh.
No, the whish and the whoosh.
Nice.
But Joe, as Joan and I know, because we've talked about it for a long time, when you fill up the sink, and you just get this little tiny thing going down into the drain, you know? And then as the water gets out, you get whoosh! And that's what happens every time. And now is the time for the wish to begin, or it'll be too late.
Well, there's two ways of looking at this. You need $40,000 and every single day. And meanwhile, you have $50,000 on the table. I mean, that's incredible. And
you're going to lose the challenge.
You can't lose the challenge. So, but the $40,000, on an average day during the fund drive, we hope to make, these last fund drives have gone in a day. So we've made $1 million in a day.
Now, we do hear from people who say, well, first of all, why are you talking about this so long? Because it's how we make the station go, number one. And number two, why are you sure that the lady won't give you the $50,000 anyway? And the answer to that is no, but are you sure she will? Are you sure?
And as to the other thing of talking about it, look, first of all, we have to give Ira time to cough. And the other thing is that we take
You got 10, an hour and a half?
we have 10 minutes out of the show to talk about what is so vitally important to keep the radio station alive. So I say it with love and great feeling, but just get over it. It's fine. It'll be okay. We're just going to talk about it. We're going to try to make the money so we can get back to regular
and
programming.
So that we can have regular programming.
Exactly, Alan. Exactly. All right. So what do you do? How do you do it?
How'd you do? How's your mother? How's your brother? How are you?
How do you get the money?
Oh, you call 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. WAMC.org. It is the way we save ourselves.
But Vera hasn't heard about the blanket.
Vera. Vera.
Here it is.
Hey,
Vera,
this.
Watch this blanket.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh, wow.
It's a gray fleece blanket. It's 50 by 60. Those are inches.
Wow, great.
And it is, it's beautiful. It has the gray lock, Mount Gray lock. Now, you don't forget now that that we have a two, you know, we always say this and we think maybe that people don't, maybe people come in the middle and they don't understand what we're talking about. We're raising $2 million this time because we got this tower that we had to get so that you can hear us and our signal doesn't get screwed up. The tower is on the top of Mount Greylock.
In Massachusetts.
And we are thrilled that we have this Mount Greylock, this Mount Greylock sweatshirt, pullover sweatshirt, the Mount Greylock blanket, as well as Mount Greylock socks. You can get any one of those separately for $100. You can get two for $200, or you can get all three for $240, which, Ira, is what we call
swag.
A deal.
Oh, a deal.
A deal.
You know, these, I have so many WAMC themed garments, and they're great billboards. I was on walking down Larchmont Boulevard in California a couple of years ago, and I was wearing a WAMC T-shirt. And some guy from behind said, oh, WAMC, I used to live in the Capital District, and I listened all the time. It's a great station.
Oh,
so
nice.
There's you all become walking billboards.
See, it's a connector. The tower is a connector. The swag is a connector.
Well, we need you desperately. So
we do.
What's taking you so long? Go to the phone, 1-800-323-9262, or online, WAMC.org. If you want the stuff, you can do that through the drop-down menu online, or of course talk to one of the agents standing by.
Operators are standing by here at Lewis Aluminum.
And we welcome your phone calls at 1-800-323-9262. We're going to talk about it throughout the morning, so just be ready for that.
Can I put it a different way?
Do it.
I'm asking your permission as the boss of the program. Okay, ready?
Let's have a test. Tell him no and see if he does it another way.
Are you ready? Here it is.
I'm so ready.
Please.
Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as that. We need it, and we want to, if you enjoy, and from all accounts, people come up and they talk to us about the show. We had a wonderful gathering last week where everybody came out and talked to us and told us what the show meant to them, what this radio station means to them. And so if you want to support it and you want to make sure that we, now, by the way, I think it's also important to say, because I know people have been saying this to me, well, you must have heard from everybody by now. Well, no. If you figure 1 out of 10 people actually give, so there's talk about growth opportunity. There's 9 people.
So we need the 9. Right?
That's right.
We need the 9.
Actually, it's a lot more than 9.
Yeah,
we have 500,000 separate listeners every month. That's huge.
But let's just say that it's 10%. Well, then, my God, you have that's a 90% growth, as that you can go out and find those people who listen every single solitary day, who rely on this radio station, and listen to this radio station and love this radio station, and those are the people that we're talking to this morning.
And Joe, a very lovely lady, a very lovely person, called me the other day and said to me, "Alan, shut up. We all get it." Well, if we all get it, got it. There would be no fun drive right now. It would be over.
So were you being facetious when you said lovely?
What'd you say?
No, she was lovely.
No, I changed. I took it back. You're not allowed to say lovely anymore. You know, you can't say lovely. You can't say anything anymore. So I didn't say lovely. I took it back.
That is a startling statistic when you think of how many people regularly listen to the station and don't put in a dime. You try to get inside their heads. I mean, there are people obviously who can't afford it, and that's unfortunate. But you know, you'll take you're willing to take $5. You'll take.
We
anything.
Did. We took a wonderful call this morning from somebody who pledged $35, and it was wonderful. I tell you, I feel as good about that $35 as I do about $1,000. It was wonderful.
You know, I was my wife did a horrible thing over the weekend. She itemized in our checking account, itemized all of the monthly charges that I have for streaming services.
Wow.
CBS, Hulu, Netflix, Apple Music, all of that stuff. But you pay for that stuff. And so if you listen to this radio station every single day, and that's one of the many, many things that you listen to, then yeah, you pay for it. Simple as that. 1-800-323-9262. WAMC.org, and we need you desperately.
We
so
do.
Please, please, please. All right, we're going to go on and talk about stuff, but we're going to keep our eyes on the prize. We need to make a lot of money this morning, so let's make that happen. All right, 1-800-323-9262. Let me see if I can find the thing that I sent out to you telling of all the stories that we were going to work on today. Here it is. The president is in Davos, Switzerland, a club that Trump has revered and resented finally opens its doors. And by any measure, he made a lot of money. The kid from Queens, maybe not as much as he boasted, but a fortune, and yet never accepted, never respected. He remained on the outside, pressing his nose against the window of the club of elites he both revered and resented. So when President Trump arrives in the snowy mountaintop resort where financial titans mingle, the heads of state in an annual festival of capitalism, and may feel like a moment of vindication, never invited when he was merely a businessman, Mr. Trump will arrive on Thursday as leader of the world's last superpower, commanding attention, if not admiration. Whatever else, he cannot be ignored now. So what happens when he goes to this World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, ground zero of globalization?
Well, I have a question for the experts in the room, just to put his visit in further context, because what we're hearing most often is that he's showing up after not being invited all these years to sort of thumb his nose at this group. But it's my understanding that the only other president, at least of recent vintage, who ever went to Davos was Bill Clinton.
Correct.
And the question I have is, why haven't other presidents deemed it necessary to go to Davos? And what does Trump expect to happen here other than get this notoriety that he's been lacking from them all these
years? Isn't
these
that enough?
Well, okay. For him,
I agree with you, Joe. I think that's what this is all about.
So then why the other president's not gone?
Who wants it?
So I'm just going to say for a couple of moments, traditionally, really, this was a gathering for sort of business leaders, innovators, tech industry people. And it really was not sort of the political atmosphere right. that we have today. Now, I believe that obviously Clinton started this trend a little bit, but the most important reason why we will see Trump at this stage is because last year the Chinese premier
exactly right.
talked mm-hmm. and actually positioned China for global leadership in terms of advancing the ideas of globalization. Whereas, of course, President Trump has spoken a lot about sort of nativist interests, cutting back or reducing the influence, the negative influences of globalization on the American worker. And so I think he is actually on this world stage now to respond to the Chinese challenge that they will be the number one economy in the near future, replacing really the United States as the leader in sort of the global business environment.
I actually think that was a brilliant analysis, Vera. And no, I do. And I think it really is exactly right, except that there's another possibility, which I don't consider to be as upfront as your analysis, which is this is a guy who is married to controversy. The more that he can upset the apple cart, the better he likes it. He must be worried because, as you know, and I know Joe's going to get to this, as he left the room, he did the extraordinary thing of going in and visiting all those journalists who were in the scrum around General Kelly, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, "I am not a crook, basically. I am not an obstructionist. I am not this. I am not that." So it's clearly on his mind, and he's worried about what Mueller is doing. And now he's getting on that plane, and he wants to get back this morning tweet ability that he has to upset the apple cart and everybody else. And Davos is a perfect place to do it.
Except, can I respond to that? I think, actually, when...
Do you feel this will be a short answer or a long answer?
I can make it fast.
Because we have 10 seconds.
Yes.
And if you want to wait till after the break, we can do
that. Oh, I can quickly say what I think it may be that Trump is trying to show on the global stage that he can be presidential.
Sure.
So I think that might be his interest right now.
Tinsley Ellis playing at the Linda tomorrow night.
Thelinda.org.
That is so cool. Some great music, and we're going to talk more about that with Carl Blackwood coming up at 10:35 this morning. By the way, we got a note from the front office that said one of the comments that came in from the phones are ringing, which was great. We need to keep them ringing throughout the day today if we're going to make this by in just the next 10 days of making $400,000 to make $50,000 to get to our $1.5 million goal. Iris, please reach me. So many people get so much of their news for free. It's not fair. He should know. I'm in news too, and we're dying because of free stuff on the internet. WAMC is worth paying for. I don't have a name.
Oh,
we'll find out for you.
Well, thank you, and I'll send you a subscription form too.
And then Ira, didn't you tell me that there was the word was out that there's a paywall going up on the Daily?
I just read
now.
That this morning. The New York Daily News is adding a paywall on its internet site. You'll get 10 stories for free before it kicks in, as many newspapers are doing that increasingly.
It's interesting because I check them all in the morning. I try to read the other guys too, and I read the New York Post, POST, a number of times, and they do not have such a paywall. And so we have had this fight going on between, I've watched Rex change his mind on this over the years. Whether you get a paywall or whether you don't, because they have to make money enough to survive.
Well, there was a theory early on that you would just invite people to come on and read your content for free, and the more people you could build up doing that, then you had a very impressive number to show to advertisers,
right,
and that
exactly
was what was going
exactly
to pay
right
for it. But it hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can help us, and you can make sure we don't have a paywall. 1-800-323-9262. You can also go online at WAMC.org. WAMC.org.
I know you want to get to work here, Joe, but one more thing.
Yes, sir.
In 1980, I sort of was given the privilege of starting this thing up out of the ashes. And it's been a long, wonderful time. But in the end, yes, we'd love to give you the socks, and we'd love to give you the fleece blanket, and we'd love to give you the shirt, or as Ira was saying before, a T-shirt or a hat or anything that you need. But in the end, we know that what's in your heart is what makes people pick up the telephone. It's what's in your heart for this radio station. You tell me that all the time, and I got to tell you, it's been a long, hard run, almost 40 years, but but it is what makes it all so satisfying that you're out there. 1-800-323-9262. Please do it. Go to WAMC.org. I'm telling you now, it's what it's all about. It's about your heart.
1-800-323-9262. All right, so we've been talking about Davos. Let us now talk about the story that happened as the president was getting ready to go on his trip and was about to board the plane. There was a gathering of press, and all of a sudden the president walked in, and he said that he was willing and eager to be interviewed by Robert Mueller, the special counsel investigating Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential campaign, insisting that he has done nothing wrong. Mr. Trump said of talking to Mr. Mueller, "I'm looking forward to it, actually," answering months of speculation over whether he was willing to submit to questions from the special counsel. Now, he gave himself an out, which was if given lawyer approval, but so there was an out. He said, "Here's a story just so you understand." During this impromptu question and answer session with reporters in the West Wing, there's been no collusion whatsoever, which is the first time he said that, so we got that on the record. Joke. And there's no obstruction whatsoever, and I'm looking forward to it. Mr. Trump suggested that his efforts to defend himself after damaging allegations had been unfairly misrepresented as wrongdoing. "You fight back," he said. Such a response is characterized as, "Oh, it's obstruction." I think that's interesting that it's now being characterized in his mind, in cooperating with the investigation, that you're fighting back.
So, you know, they've got this whole bunch of stuff going on. Number one, they've got the Republicans, right, Teresa? They got the Republicans in the House and the Senate talking about phony memos, real McCarthyism, which we can't see. They're so damaging by who? The guy who was hiding in the bushes at the White House trying to smuggle stuff into the president, Nunez, of the Intelligence Committee, who had to remove himself. That's how outrageous that guy is. And at the same time, they're pulling that, and I picked up on it, right, Joe? I think you'll substantiate that when we first heard him say this, the bit about the lawyer, assuming that the lawyers will go along, basically, I said that morning, there it is. That's what's going to happen. Now he'll tell his lawyers, "Tell me I can't do it." I mean, it's pretty simple. 2,000 lies, the Washington Post found. 2,000 lies. He's a liar.
I guess the other way of looking at it, and I'm interested in what you all think, is the other way of looking at it is that sort of a deal's already been made, and we're going to kind of move forward on it. I don't know.
Well, I think one of the things that has evolved in my mind is that, as crazy as I think this guy is, if figuratively, if not literally, and as unstable, I'm becoming more convinced that he does know what he's doing about things like walking into that room last night, knowing what questions he was going to get and how he was going to answer it, because it accomplished one big thing. It changed all of the talk shows on cable last night to talk about those comments and the Dream Act, as opposed to stuff they didn't want he didn't want them talking about.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
There's a difference between messaging and governing. There is no doubt that Donald Trump is a master at messaging, and we saw that last night. The problem is that he's not a master at governing, and you know he's.
I hope I didn't imply that.
But what we need? No, I know that you don't mean it, but it's a problem because.
I think you're on the record on that.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is he's got the messaging down right. You know, manipulating the media and the conversation.
To what end, Teresa?
To his own benefit. I mean, to his own, because it got him elected. It keeps it. But if you look at what's happening underneath it, there's chaos underneath it. And think about Davos. You know, really, the message, the headline I thought that was most accurate in all I've read about Davos is that the rest of the world's moved on. Donald Trump, you know, he has his isolationist, "Me too, we're going to close ranks" message. That's not the message of the rest of the world.
One thing I'd love to be able to respond to that, to Teresa. I think undoubtedly you all know I'm not a Trump fan. Nevertheless, you say he's not good at governing. if Vera and I know as political scientists that politics is the authoritative allocation of scarce resources, and if in fact his scarce resource here is getting what he wants in terms of government, which is the rich paying much less taxes, the middle class, the rest of us, you know, having all of this problem with taxes and deductibility and all the rest of it, I would submit to you this guy knows what he's doing. He doesn't care about the chaos that he's causing, but I think he knows what he's doing.
I think I disagree. I don't think that Donald Trump has a policy vision or agenda. I think that certainly Pence does. I think that a lot of people around him did. I think Bannon did. But I don't think he is driven by a policy agenda. He couldn't answer a first-level question about most of the policies he's involved with. I think there are people around him. You see Zinke in Interior has an aggressive agenda. You see Pruitt and APA has an aggressive agenda. Unfortunately, the new head of Health and Human Services, you know, my guess is he has an aggressive agenda around health care, which is not compatible with the benefits to most of us.
Teresa, I don't want to fight with you here. I have immense
We're not fighting. We're having a nice discussion.
No, I have immense respect for what you're saying about governance and the rest of it. But he did get his tax package through. He has ruined health care in America. We know that. And you say, but he has people around him who know what they're doing. I'm sorry. He chose the people around him. You can choose somebody who is going to help the interior, or you're going to help choose somebody who's going to ruin the interior. He chose the latter.
But I don't think his rhetoric is strategic in the sense of driving a policy agenda. I think his rhetoric is driving an agenda where he leads the news.
But why isn't that a policy agenda when you ruin the national parks, when you take people's health, you take 23 million people or whatever,
yes, I think that's
health care around away from them? He's chosen the people who do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe it's a distinction without a difference. That
why?
No, I'm saying, you know, maybe we are in agreement. Maybe it's I'm raising a distinction without a difference. I don't think he thinks about the parks or no. You know, he says, oh, I care about health care. I don't think he cares one way or the other. He cares about paying off the people like the Koch brothers and others. And you see with, you know, no one's talking about this.
It's a bill of love, Teresa.
Right. And I mean, and yeah. this headline a minute ago on CNN, this Chiron about how he cares so much about the Dreamers, you know, and immigration, trying to get a settlement on immigration. He's all over every angle of the immigration issue. He doesn't have a firm
immigration
policy.
Yeah, he seems to shift constantly, right?
Right,
but one
right,
of
right.
the other issues that I was thinking about in terms of his messaging and, you know, walking into this room full of journalists last night. He seems to have a very clear idea in terms of his messaging and sort of taking over perhaps the talk show themes. But then that is very separate from what we see from sort of the legal aspect. He seems to have a very unclear understanding of what legally is coming, the train that's coming his way.
Or he chooses to. But so let's ask Alan.
Could I go back to Vera for 1 second here? When you say he sees the train coming down, just so that your audience gets it, what's the train? Do you mean that he's in
the questioning? Mueller is working on the questions that obviously his team is working on the questions. Now, Ty Cobb, one of Trump's lawyers, will request that the questions for Trump will be released. And of course, they're not going to do that. And they don't want Trump to give written testimony because it will not be given by President Trump, but written by the legal team. So Mueller is working on arrangements to meet face to face with President Trump and ask specific questions. And I think one of the areas where I suspect Mueller will be asking questions is actually about, you know, part of it, of course, is, you know, the during the campaign, the relationship with Russians, certain meetings. But I also think there might be an issue related to money laundering.
By the way, I want you to know I agree with you. I mean, I agree with you. I think I disagree with Teresa on one part of this, which is I think this is a greedy guy who has an agenda and has picked people to make sure that his agenda in his eyes.
I think Pence picked the people.
Well, it doesn't matter. He picked Pence. So in the end, Andrew Cuomo is sitting
That's why I'm saying maybe it's a distinction without a difference.
Andrew Cuomo is sitting up the head of government. His guys are on trial for their lives right now. And people are saying, but he didn't know about what they were doing. But he picked them. He picked people with a particular kind of character, and he did. Okay, so it's away from that. So I think that that's what happened, but I think Vera's right about something, which is that train's coming down the track, and the one thing that kills all politicians is killing him, which is arrogance. He thought he could pull the FBI director Comey into the room and say, lay off.
He still thinks he can get it all fuzzied out by denigrating them.
Yeah.
But Alan...
Right.
We have to go for a break. Can we do that?
Go on break,
show, buddy.
Just being nice.
We're
just
here to serve you. That wasn't a question. That was
just wanted to take a break and make sure everything's all good. And
it's your show, buddy.
All you have to do is, if you want to help us out, one way we get money for the radio station, obviously, is underwriting. We're going to go to that. The other way is from you. And you can help us out, 1-800-323-9262. You can also go online, wamc.org, wamc.org. We'll be right back after this. Oh, good stuff. Tinsley Ellis is going to be playing at the Linda tomorrow night. Thelinda.org for more information and just great bumper music for our program. Get you in the mood to talk feisty as we do. And Teresa has a question for Alan, but before she asks that, Alan has an announcement for us all.
I ran out front. We've raised almost $10,000 this morning. That's really phenomenal.
Yes.
And if everybody will just keep going, because it is such a serious matter. Again, to those few, and I mean very few, who would say, why are you spending so much time on fundraising? I would say it's simple. We can't have this station without it.
Just to keep the it's how you keep the conversation going. Right?
We do. Yeah. Thanks, Teresa, as always.
Okay. 1-800-323-9262 is the telephone number. 1-800-323-WAMC. That's how you can donate to this radio station. You can also go online, wamc.org. And there's a drop-down menu. You can see the premiums there, but you can also just do it, put your money in, and it's very easy. 1-800-323-9262 or wamc.org. When last we left you, Teresa was about to ask Alan a question regarding
Donald Trump,
yes,
and the world affairs and policy and strategy or not. So think about North Korea, very tense situation, and it seems that has calmed down a bit. And with the quiet hand of the Chinese, probably is what has calmed it down a bit. And
with the
Olympics.
South Korea.
And the Olympics.
The South Koreans, South Koreans and Chinese. Anyway, it's cooled down a bit. The Olympics on the horizon, right? So then what does Donald Trump do? He decides his first push on tariffs, which he's been threatening tariffs. The first push on tariffs are tariffs that'll hurt the Chinese and the South Koreans. And just before he goes to Davos. So what's the policy strategy there?
Well, here's the thing. You could ask him. And if you ask him, he'll say, you know, Teresa, I was listening to you on the radio the other morning, and you said things have calmed down in Korea probably because of the Chinese. Now, you know what he would say, right? He would say, no, not because of the Chinese, but because of me, my discussions with the South Koreans, and everything that's going on there. You will not get satisfaction out of the fact that you and I both know full well that the guy's full of mud.
He raises the temperature, and then he wants to take, you know, he sets the house on fire and then wants to take credit for putting it out.
But if you had the fox, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, I was thinking, let's reflect on that. I think the North Koreans have won because they very smartly reached out to the South Koreans on something the South Koreans deeply wanted to improve on, namely their relationship with the North Koreans. They felt predominantly threatened, and it has very little to do with the United States. In fact, the North Koreans wanted to improve their relationship with the South Koreans so they could increase a
trade.
So it's a wedge, you know, grow, have this wedge in between the South Koreans and the United States. Mm-hmm. And that exactly has happened. The North Koreans have gotten pretty much everything they wanted so far. So they have entirely won. The Chinese have increased pressure a little bit on the North Koreans. I don't think they have really had that much of an influence. And now at a point where Trump has relied supposedly extensively on the Chinese to calm down the North Korean issue, as you rightly point out, now we have the issue of tariffs on washing machines and on solar panels.
Washing machines, South Korea, solar panels, uh-huh. China, just yeah. before he goes well, to
well,
Dallas.
Here,
Why?
I want to take your course. Boy, those students are lucky to have you.
Well, I don't know about that, but
well, I know about it. Yeah.
So what are the implications?
I just want to say, just real quick, but President Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu yeah. are meeting right now, so mm-hmm. the conversation
surprise.
Is
so Trump
so
is
we'll
not
have some
listening.
Headlines from that.
So he's not listening.
Not as no. of this moment.
God, no. Darn it! You'll no. have to tape it no. and send it to him. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, come give on, aid Ira. To the Palestinians because of disrespect.
So the tariffs on solar mm-hmm. and washing machines, ostensibly because it's going to help businesses in this
Correct.
Country.
Correct.
But whether that's or not that's saying. True, it most of the major parts of solar are developed outside of this country.
Of course they are.
And need to be imported into this country
yes.
so that local people can build
yes.
the solar.
A lot of jobs.
And
so,
a lot of jobs. It's going to be
it's
going to be more expensive now with these tariffs yeah. to import them. It's going to be passed along to the consumers.
And can I also say, the idea that President Trump has to increase domestic production and hire workers is also unrealistic in the sense that, first of all, our production facilities don't rely on massive hiring practices, but increased use of technology. So it doesn't necessarily mean that thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of Americans will get jobs. What it means that some corporations will in the coming year possibly increase their production domestically and use technology and investments.
And give pay raises.
Possibly to
because,
the few people that are
right.
working
and,
there.
And give mm-hmm. pay raises. And in fact, NPR pointed yeah. out this morning mm-hmm. when they did a wonderful piece on automation,
mm-hmm.
on
yes.
how much automation is coming, but also that the reason these raises are being given right now is we're at full capacity and people
exactly
are robbing
right.
from
yeah.
each other.
That's
when,
right. And that's why if you clamp down on immigration, if you say I'm going to create mm-hmm. jobs, but mm-hmm. you clamp down on immigration, that's why a lot of these industry folks are opposed to his immigration.
Right.
You know, and what is he doing in his own industries? In Trump Wine, they're asking for waivers to bring in more immigrants to work
yes.
there.
That's
Trump,
unbelievable.
Trump Hotels
yeah.
in Florida, they're asking for
yeah.
More visas mm-hmm. to allow more immigrants to come and Haitian immigrants.
And if the tariffs on solar, for example, prove to create a circumstance where fewer people are going to be buying solar in this country because it's outpriced, then we see the oil companies benefit and mm-hmm. the climate in general to its detriment. Well, you need solar to for climate change.
And so he goes to Davos, where over the last couple of years, they have changed their view dramatically on climate.
Right.
Dramatic. Now they are very focused on the climate change. Trump has stepped away from the U.S. seat at the table on climate change. Modi from India, Trudeau mm-hmm. from Canada, Macron from France have all in their statements made some remarks about the U.S. stepping away on the climate agreement, but they're continuing to move forward. Mm-hmm. And Trump takes a move that will take us further away from addressing
climate.
All right,
I promised I would hit the break at 58:30 on time because I promised Ray, so I have to keep up my part of the
And when
bargain.
Ray gets mad,
you don't want Mr. Grumpy to get mad.
WAMC.org to help the lockbox. We have something like 20 new members this morning. Can
oh,
you be
my
one,
goodness.
Too?
Oh, my goodness. That's so great.
WAMC.org. We need your help. 1-800-323-9262. We will be back after this
we
break.
We need hundreds.
You going, Rob? You going to the big Tinsley Ellis show? Yeah, you may. Oh, good. Excellent. Great music. Going to be at the Linda tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. You can be there, too. Go to thelinda.org. Alan, you have an announcement, and then we'll have some letters, and then we're going to go on to other topics.
Well, we are raising a lot of money right now. I'm not on top of exactly how much, but it's a lot. People are really getting involved.
Coming in fast and furious.
They're doing terrific. And
great.
We got one letter, Joe. Perhaps you could refer to it.
Yes, this is from Mark, who says, it's so upsetting to see how long it takes sometimes to reach the fund goals. Maybe the reason why people are hesitant to donate is because we live in a corrupt state run by crooks like Cuomo, who have their aides taking bribes. Maybe if you posted where funds are going, people would be more willing to donate, knowing they're not going into Alan's pocket. Of course, Alan is a big Cuomo fan. Best Mark.
Well, first of all, I'm not a Cuomo fan, and I have made that very clear over the years. Mario Cuomo, yes, but not of Andrew Cuomo, and I've said that. In fact, I had a column last week and said, quote, him I don't like. So there was that. Secondly, I do believe that Andrew Cuomo should be in charge of the people who are working for him, and he picked them, and he should be responsible for what they're doing. I think it's unfair to say that he knew, because we don't know that he knew, but it doesn't matter. Either he should have known, he should have had something in place to make sure it wasn't happening, and frankly, as the head guy, he has to take the responsibility for what's going on. Now I want to just one more thing, Joe, and then we can go back to this important work and just say it's not taking a long time. Nobody in America, for the population that this station has the loyalty and the decency of the people who are supporting this station. You go to places like the whole state of Florida. A lot of our people do, and they listen, and they say, we can't believe it. Nobody makes what this radio station does proportionate to what we have. And so it's really a cheap, unfair shot. I know you love us when you make that kind of a thing and say, I love you, WMC, but I'm worried about you. I get that. I get that part of it. But please, let's remember, this is a great deal of money, a $2 million fundraiser, and we're going to make it because of the people who we are. I'm just telling you that now. That's my response.
And what a nice news that it's 20-plus new members. I mean, that's really lovely.
Well, just since we...
Just this morning.
Oh, and in fact, it's increasing, by a lot right now.
Yeah.
All right. Alan, you have some letters to read, and then we're going to move on to other topics. So let's
do
that.
Tell me here, Joe. For
I'll
once,
keep that in mind.
Good morning, says Nancy. For once, I agree with Teresa. Trump has...
For once.
So one listener agrees with you.
She's only
nice?
On every day.
I love her. For once, I agree with Teresa. Trump was given names maybe by Pence. Trump cares not all about policy, except it affects himself. He's the accidental president. His publicity stunt campaign spun out of control, and now he's in trouble. And thanks from Nancy. Nancy, we love you too, but I'm going to tell you right now, he's the president, and he's responsible for the people who he picked and who are working for him.
Well, thank you, Nancy. But Trump, Pence, remember, took over control of
Of the selection of who's working there from Chris Christie, of all people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Transition committee.
Nevertheless, the guy sitting on the top, if somebody does something really bad here, I'm going to be to blame for it.
No, he's responsible, but I don't think he's the message guru, but he's not the policy hand.
It is of no consequence to me. He's a bad man, in my opinion, and he's on the top, and he's calling the shots, and he's picking the people, and that's it. But okay. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Robert says, King Trump. Good morning, all. Donald Trump is interested in one thing only, himself. It's all about how it affects him. He's always been that way and always will. You have to approach all his decisions with this in mind. And that's Bob from Prosecco.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee says, tariffs. Might the tariff on solar panels be a gift to our oil and gas oligarchs? Great show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yes. Koch brothers.
Probably.
I think some in the solar business in the U.S. would probably be happy about this. The problem is that over the long term, we would like to regain an advantage in solar production. But right now, the solar jobs are not in the production and the manufacturing. They're in the
installation
more than coal. Yeah.
And a lot of people are going to lose jobs.
Yes, exactly. Because, I mean, if solar panels go up in price, then fewer customers will order solar panels to be installed in their houses. And all the technicians that are supposed to put them up will lose their jobs. The forecast is about up to 25,000 will lose their jobs. Those jobs will not even be replaced by the local washing machines that we will make then through technology improved factories. So
And what do you want to bet that those washing machine prices here domestically don't go up?
Yeah, well, good luck on that too.
Well, yeah, LG already announced today that the prices are going up.
I mean, this is not an easy good or bad kind of a situation with globalization. It's not a binary choice. And it's a complex issue, and a lot of people don't seem to want to think about the complexity
of I just don't even understand the policy. Why antagonize the Chinese and the South Koreans when temperatures are lowered around the national security threat, and just before the Olympics, when we know how important these Olympics are to South Korea? And when you're going to, you know, as a preface to going to Davos, where everyone thinks that you're an isolationist, then you're just proving it.
So just for the sake of argument, which I love to do, are the Chinese eating our lunch?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And do the American people know that the Chinese are eating our lunch?
Not yet.
No, but they as the New York Times headline said, they've moved on. They look at what happened announcing the trade agreements. They're not waiting for the U.S. They went off and announced a separate trade agreement. Yeah. There's 23 new trade agreements in the last year. Only one of them the U.S. is involved in, and that's the one that stalled. The rest of the world has moved on. We live in a global economy.
Michael says Trump is in Davos to do hotel deals. Oh, I see. Trump is in Davos to do hotel deals. So are his children. He's ignored the emoluments clause with his properties. Why is anyone surprised? Michael. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's likely. I mean, he has a few meetings, obviously. He just met with Theresa May, pretending they're good buddies. He can't even go to the UK for a meeting there because there would be so many people on the streets protesting that he now has to meet our supposed best ally in Switzerland rather than in the UK.
Just think about that. The President of the United States of America cannot go and visit our best and strongest ally.
Well, I mean, he can.
He can.
He could.
There would just be
so much protest.
Tracy says.
Hi, Tracy.
Mueller investigation, says Tracy. If the Mueller investigation concludes with no evidence of collusion or obstruction against President Trump, will you accept the findings?
Of course.
Absolutely.
I mean, did we accept the findings of Preet Bharara that Andrew Cuomo didn't know about what his aides were doing? We did, of course. Mm-hmm. We may have a philosophical objection to Andrew Cuomo not being in charge of and not having selected the right people, that he would be astounded when he hears on a three-way phone conversation that the guy's been ripping it off.
But the big question is to reverse that question to if, in fact, the Mueller investigation shows that Trump, in fact, did do something wrong. And you can see clearly now that the strategy is to denigrate Mueller and to denigrate the FBI and to throw in doubt their honesty and integrity, so that when that report comes out, they're going to say you can't trust what they're saying. And that's terribly destructive for the future of this country. You know, I know Alan has said all along he thinks that Trump has to fire Mueller. I think we've passed that point. I think he understands what the ramifications would be if he were to fire Mueller at this, certainly at this stage of the game. So they're taking a different tack. They're going after Mueller, and they don't want him to have any credibility when his report comes out.
So just for the sake of argument here or intelligent discourse here on the panel.
I love this part.
On the panel. Thank you, Joe. just for the sake
there's always a however but.
Of that,
it's coming.
Yeah. There are two things that are going on here. On the one hand, with the lawyers, he's saying, of course, I'll talk to them. Mm-hmm. unless the lawyers say no, and the lawyers will say no when he tells them to say no, because you can't imagine anything else would be going on.
But he can be subpoenaed, so he can't permanently say he won't talk to him.
And on the other hand, he's got all the allies sitting over there in the House of Representatives, the Republicans, and the senators, to my great disgust, who are basically laying the groundwork for anything that might have to be done against Mueller and the FBI. They are saying they're a corrupt organization, basically, and that they're that they are dishonest, and that there are phony memos around here that we have seen, but we can't show to anybody else. Joe McCarthyism 101. And that sets the stage, because if Richard Nixon could have pulled down a defense, he would have done it. He would have done it. This guy, Trump, has learned from Nixon. On the one hand, he's saying, I am not a crook. And on the other hand, he's getting his allies, you'd be stupid not to figure that out, saying all this other stuff in the House and in the Senate. Okay, Eric says, our wonderful friend Eric, who I love so much. Good morning, panel. I wish people would stop telling Alan to shut up. And stop trying to protect his station. I'm putting money in the lockbox today, and I'm happy to hear about the count until the goal is reached. If you don't like it, find a better station. Good luck with that. And that's Eric from Richmond, and I love Eric. Known him for a long time. Great guy. And Richard says, take a Trump pawn. Hi, panel. Do you think Mueller will use Trump Jr. to gain leverage over Trump Sr.? That's what they
if
do, you know.
Yeah, if he can. Absolutely. I mean, this is what, that's the technique that's always used. You're correct. I mean, that's how Flynn and Papadopoulos were
Sure. flipped. Papadopoulos, mm-hmm. right. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. Hey, let's assume that he is not a relative. Let's assume he's a very close friend with a lot of information about Trump. Would he do that? Would he take that prison? Of course.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, you know, Flynn's son, you know, was threatened.
Sure.
And then the senior flips. Right. That's how that works.
You are so smart. Okay, Richard says, take a Trump pawn. We did that. All right. And Stephen says, Trump. Primary reason Trump upended Kelly's presser to show his chief of staff that he's more important than anybody. Stable genius needs his two scoops to everyone else's one, and that's from Steve. Now, that's very interesting because there has been some interstitial, otherwise known as gossip, material moving around here that he said, what I guess Ira last week, he said, Trump thinks Kelly thinks he's a big shot and that he's in charge here. And we've heard that from several sources. I saw it on CNN, I believe. So if that's the case, this letter writer may have been right. I find it kind of dubious.
I mean, Kelly is a military man. He understands the chain of command.
Sure.
But the reason all those reporters were in there is because they didn't have access to Trump, and he's the next best thing. And then Trump walks in, everybody turned their back on Kelly. But he understands what that's
and
all
to
about.
His purposes. I mean, yeah. Trump knew that he, as I think Teresa said before, or Vera said before, this is all a matter of diversion.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Sorry, go ahead, Teresa. No, I was just thinking one word. It might be the behavior of alpha males.
Or insecure.
Speaking of alpha males, are we going to talk about what's going on out in the,
yes,
in the convention
we must.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The Nassar.
Oh, yeah. That was where I was going next. So after 7 days of listening to more than 160 girls, women, and parents describe the impact of a sexual abuse, disgraced gymnastics physician Larry Nassar turned to the courtroom Wednesday and quietly attempted an apology. Then Judge Rosemary Aquilina read from a letter Nassar wrote last week in which he expressed very different sentiments. In the letter, Nassar complained about the length of his sentencing hearing, maintained that his touching of patients was legitimate medical therapy, and termed some of the alleged victims' accounts as fabricated. As the judge read excerpts, some in the courtroom gasped. The judge then addressed him to directly and said it was not treatment what you did, it was not medical. I wouldn't send my dogs to you, sir. She delivered her sentence, a minimum of 40 years, a maximum of 175 years in Michigan State Prison, effectively guaranteeing a life sentence for the 54-year-old Michigan State University and USA Gymnastics team physician, who also faces a 60-year sentence for federal child pornography crimes. It is quite a devastating. The victim statements and the emotional testimony that was heard during the case was quite unreal.
Let me read the first two paragraphs of a column in the Washington Post today by Sally Jenkins, who is just a tremendous writer and reporter and columnist. And I think it certainly sums up how I feel, and I think how most people in this country should feel. She says, a national organization with the initials USA on it forced young girls to submit to pelvic exams by a child molester. Literally hundreds of them were isolated in mandatory camps and were repeatedly assaulted by a barehanded pedophile for years on end, while nobody cared to notice that no decent doctor would perform such an exam on young girls, much less ungloved. Where in the fresh red hell is an independent investigation into USA Gymnastics, and why isn't Congress threatening to smash the U.S. Olympic Committee's charter into pieces with a gavel over this? It's only the worst sex abuse scandal in the history of sports, and maybe in the history of this country. USA Gymnastics not only allowed serial pedophile Larry Nassar unsupervised access to the scores of girls in its charge over 30 years, it required them to submit to him and his utterly unjustifiable vaginal examinations. There was no saying, I don't like this doctor, I want my own. The organization systematically deprived them of any right to say no, to ask for alternate treatment. It makes the Hollywood rapes look principled. That, in my view, is where this case is in the history of this country. It's just a scandal beyond belief.
It is.
So the other interesting aspect to this, of course, is that Larry Nassar was also a sports physician for decades at Michigan State. And we know that athletes at Michigan State for a long time commented, pushed back, reported to staffers, at other trainers, and various campus police or security officials that they felt something inappropriate was going on, and those athletes were not believed. This is a major structural problem within the sport of gymnastics, within the sort of this desire to have, you know, the sort of Olympic committees or competitive sports environments to have these women perform or these girls perform on all levels, including the international level, without considering their well-being. I mean, it is truly shocking.
It's really hard to believe that nobody, and particularly including the president of that college, knew what was going on, didn't know what was going
on.
Well,
I think they just preferred not to know.
Yeah.
They preferred not to inquire. They preferred to simply see athletic success. And I, in the 1990s, I had the opportunity when I was just starting for my master's degree in Boston. I actually got to meet Olga Korbut, a famous gymnast coming out of the Soviet tradition and then went to the United States. In a conversation with her, she very openly shared how it is a culture within gymnastics. And at the time I assumed she was talking about the Soviet Union, when in fact she was referring to the notion that as a 9-year-old, she was groomed to be a sexual partner for trainers. She was beaten. She was pushed into performance. She was sexually abused and manipulated and emotionally pressured. And a lot of young women out of the Soviet system cracked. But here it is. It is within the U.S. Olympic environment as well. That, to me, indicates that a major investigation into the U.S. Olympic Committee is essential, to think about what kind of a structure we establish and how we do not listen to young girls, young women, when they report to adults what is happening to them.
Well, it's all about money. They want to turn their backs on it because they're going to threatens excuse me, it threatens a money stream. I've been a very fierce critic of the NCAA for years, having nothing to do with this sport. and the U.S. Olympic Committee and the whole Olympic movement. It's all about money, and you see some of the reports about the lifestyles of the U.S. Olympic, not the U.S. Olympic, but the whatever it's called, the Olympic, the IOCC, how they're in effect bribed to try to get Olympics in various locations. It's just so much there that it needs to be ripped up and either thrown away or rebuilt.
We are out of time. My thanks to everybody who joined us this morning. Reminder, you can help us with our lockbox challenge. We need your help desperately. 1-800-323-9262. $50,000 challenge. That's why we need this. WAMC.org. 1-800-323-9262.